I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
The man's got guts. He's got oranges the size of beach balls.
I don't care what corporate media outlets say. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what big corporations say. Here I stand. I'm not backing down.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
All right, let's get rolling here for a Monday afternoon, which is apparently Bring Your Daughter to Work Day, unfortunately, here at 97.1 FM Talk, because there is a Teacher Development Day that is going on in the Rockwood School District, and apparently I have no other child care today, because my wife is on the way to see the grandbaby in Houston.
Now, this is great. I look forward to this, because she actually will take pictures and send them to
us. Yes, she will take pictures, and we'll finally get some information. I kind of sent her, look, this got a little logistically challenged for us all to get down there at the same time, and I basically sent her down on a recon mission,
yes,
because there's some things that I'd like to find out that my son won't tell me. But anyway, good afternoon. How's the Hall of Famer this afternoon?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
Sue, I hope you had a good weekend.
I did. It was gorgeous.
I had a busy weekend. I kept busy around the house and was watching a little baseball and a lot of football. Let me just start before we get to serious stuff here this afternoon. Fred knew this was coming.
I've been waiting all weekend for this.
Look.
Mizzou?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just awful. And, you know, what happened on Saturday did not surprise me at all. Maybe it surprised me that they got their asses handed to them the way that they did. Now, the game did not start off very well. There was a penalty that should have been called. There was another touchdown that probably should have been a touchdown. But that doesn't matter. They're not a very good team. I said this 2 weeks ago, you know, when they came off the was that the Vanderbilt game? By the way, Vanderbilt, now that's interesting. Because if you do win that game against Texas A&M, Vanderbilt takes out. Did you see this, Sue? Vanderbilt took out the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh.
So, huge upset. Huge upset. We had just played Vanderbilt. SEC, you know, conference game in Nashville was a home game. So that would have actually reflected pretty well on Mizzou if they could have gotten their you-know-what together. But they're not a very good team, and I don't know what's really going on. I would compare them a little bit in the NFL to the Cincinnati Bengals, because you have good players. They just cannot seem to get it together this season, and that happens. Look, last year I think was a bit of a season where they overachieved. They had dynamic chemistry. You had Cody Schrader running the ball, and it became very exciting. This is not happening this year. Now, there's plenty of time to get their act together, but I don't know why. The reason I didn't have high hopes going into this weekend is because why would I have, based on the way they played up until this point?
Well,
kind of makes you wonder what they did during that off week in between this game and their last game.
I have no idea. I don't know what they did. I really don't. But that's unfortunate. Now, I mentioned the little girl who's sitting in here to my left. She's going to hang out in the studio. She may even talk a little bit. But Sue, I haven't told you this story. I told Fred. This is perfect. Really, it is. Before we're going to get into October 7th, the anniversary, there's a couple of tweets that I want to highlight here this afternoon. Anything else that might be happening on the show, I have no idea because I forgot my program sheet. So maybe
Eric Schmidt on in the 4 o'clock hour.
Ethan, if you can grab that for me, I'm sorry. It's a Monday. But Sue, remember last week, I don't think the audience even knows this because I was not really making this public. I was kind of going back and forth in an attempt to maybe have to take this Friday off.
Yes. Well, I do remember.
And then on Friday, what I think I told you is, no, I'm going to work. I'm going to work through the week. So something happened last night that's interesting. And you've known me a few years now. We've worked together. Fred's known me a long time. And this type of story that would not shock Fred or most of my personal friends, certainly. So I think I've told you that Alexa, you know, a few weeks ago, we went to Columbia. We shot a gun. She had shot BB gun before and never a regular rifle, so she was shooting a .223, doing some target shooting in an effort to shoot a deer here in this fall. And she hasn't backed off, and I haven't been putting pressure on her or anything like that. So what they're doing in Missouri, and I don't remember them doing this before this early, they're doing a doe-only season opening up for 3 days where you can go, and I think this is statewide. I might be wrong about that. It might be in particular counties. Sometimes they do it county to county. So don't take my word for it and go out there and kill something this weekend. But it's, you know, you can't shoot anything with antlers, right?
Okay.
So this seemed like a good opportunity for her to start hunting. So in my mind, Sue, that opportunity was next Friday, like the weekend of the 19th. And then last night, my friend Kevin Yeager, who's my, you know, decades-long fishing and hunting mentor and, you know, very good with Alexa, he sent me a text last night and said, hey, maybe we should talk about food for this weekend. I'm like, you mean next weekend?
Oh.
And he's like, no, it's the 12th. And this is so, but Fred, you can confirm this. This happens to me all the time, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happens, but it happens to me all the time. It really does.
You usually blame your wife.
I try. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I try to blame anyone but myself. Yes. But this would be one that I can't put on anyone else. Believe me, I've thought about it. I've tried to go through my list of people that I wanted to blame. And unfortunately, this one's on me. I don't know how I did it. I really don't.
I was going to say, don't you just, I have to put everything in my phone on the calendar or I cannot remember it.
Well, here's the thing about a calendar. I've learned this, too. You can put things in a calendar,
yeah,
but I don't look at the calendar. So then what happens there?
Well, you can set up notifications.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah,
I do.
That's a way to go.
I do like that. But in this particular case, this was just a brain fart, and I got the weekends wrong. And I'm going to blame, you know, this is the other thing. If he's listening, I'm going to blame someone. I am going to blame someone.
Well,
I just
finally
thought about this.
Thank you.
I mentioned my friend Kevin. Well, his brother Carlin, who might be listening right now, is in Howard County. We even talked about how, hey, if we get a deer that morning, next week's homecoming, and maybe we can still make it to the game. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So nobody threw the flag on that when I brought it up. So that has to be someone else's fault.
No.
Or they would have said, no, Mark, you can't do that. Homecoming's a different weekend than the doe season. You should know that.
No,
nobody said that.
No, it's two men. Nobody had any idea what was happening.
Well, that's probably true.
Yes.
So the bottom line is I got to take Friday off, and I'm actually going to pull her out of school. And we're going to get up there a little early because I think on a Friday afternoon when it's a little warm in the afternoon as opposed to getting up at 5 in the morning. That's the thing. She's a very spoiled hunter. She's developing these habits early. She's already told, you know, Kevin and me, I don't want to get up early. I'd rather hunt in the afternoon. Well,
so you two are adapting to that?
Well, I'm not sure.
Okay.
We'll see how we do on Friday. All right. We have Congressman Mark Alford, who's coming up here in just a little bit. He's going to reflect on the anniversary of October 7th, and I'm going to play a little audio here from Barry Weiss, which is really good. Senator Schmidt, as Fred noticed or indicated, he was in Butler over the weekend as the president made his return trip. Fred, I don't know if you read this. I might sample this a little bit later in the show, especially when Eric's on, but Selena was there. She joined us last week. I think she was here on Thursday, and she was on stage with Trump when this all happened in Butler the first time. And she's very lucky that she didn't get hurt, but she did an interview over the weekend. And, you know, this is probably not the best news if you're hoping that Harris doesn't win this race and that Trump wins, because I've gone back and forth. I mean, my gut check, I'm just going on gut check here, mid-August, as they change gears, she does the convention, blah, 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 all that heading into Labor Day. I didn't feel very good. And I'm looking at polls. It's not just, you know, what I was seeing in the media. And I knew that a lot of that was going to be very, very one-sided. But I do, my gut check right now, 4 weeks outside of this election, 4 weeks from tomorrow, is relatively good for Trump. But again, I think you're going to hear this from several people this afternoon. It really does come down to Pennsylvania. Selena's kind of got her, you know, pulse on that state because that's her state. And there are some things, some undercurrents she got into this last week that, and I even heard her say this on Fox this morning. Fred, I don't know if you saw her.
Yep, you've got it.
She feels, do I have that cut?
Yeah,
you
do.
Okay,
too,
Fred. Fred.
That's why he's the Hall of Famer, right?
You just have to find it.
Yeah, here, this is, so her gut check is going to be better than my gut check, but she talks about it.
So at this moment, I would give the edge to President Trump, mainly because Harris has been a bit of a bad fit for the state. Yes, she fits well into the big cities of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, but as I've said before, these elections are largely decided in the outer counties,
yes,
outside of the large cities. Places like Luzerne County, Northampton, Erie, Cambria County, Butler, Beaver. These are the places that were former Democratic strongholds, and with the exception of Erie, have all gone red, and decidedly so, not even incrementally. And they have flipped from robust support for President Obama to voting for President Trump.
So this is where I talked about this a little bit last week. I alluded to this. I do think that there's this undercurrent that is really being exposed right now, and maybe it's going to really be exposed in 4 weeks with people in this country. If you're talking about a change election, you don't like the way things are going, how in the world can you cast a ballot for Harris? Now, again, people are going to have to make their choices. There's plenty of people that would probably love to vote for a Republican here that can't do it because of Trump. We're just going to have to accept that. There are maybe people on the Democrat side that feel the same way as well. But those people probably will manifest themselves in just staying home and not voting for the either candidate. But going back to the rural areas, it's funny. My wife is literally about to roll into Houston to see my son and the grandchild right now. She said when she got into Texas earlier this morning, it was very clear it was Trump country, not only because you'd expect rural Texas to be that way, but there's like billboards and signs and all kinds of stuff. So maybe a little bit more reminiscent of what we saw in 2016.
That's where I think the election will be decided. And in those areas and in my interviews there, it is a very much of a 2016 feel to it, as opposed to 2020, which I think may end up being the election that was a fluke.
That was the bite I was looking for, Fred. That's where she felt like it has the feeling more like 2016. Now, if Selena Zito is saying that, and she's saying that in the state of Pennsylvania, that would be a very good thing for Trump supporters. So we'll have to see. Look, a lot can happen between now and then. I don't know if we're going to have any more October surprises. I do have to go back to Friday, though. A couple of things from Friday. The first thing I see when I get home on Friday night, and I don't even know why I was on Twitter, but every once in a while I torture myself and I put myself through it. And I tweeted this out on Friday night because I saw a tweet from the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. I'm sorry, Antony. Can't call him. There's no H in there. Antony Blinken. I'm sorry, Tony. I really do. The U.S. is at, this is what the tweet said, the U.S. is at the forefront of humanitarian response to the growing crisis in, fill in the word there. What would be the word? Well, it's not North Carolina, and it's not Georgia, and it's not Florida.
What?
The growing crisis in Lebanon. Announcing nearly $157 million in assistance today, we're committed to supporting those in need and delivering the essential aid to displaced civilians, refugees, and the communities hosting them. I'm fully aware that you would at least hope that the United States government can walk and chew gum at the same time, and there's several things happening. But this is, if nothing else, so tone deaf. And Harris did the same thing. I looked at her page. She had a tweet that said the same thing. The people of Lebanon are facing an increasingly dire humanitarian situation. Now, in fairness to the vice president, I looked. She was highlighting North Carolina. They're doing everything they can to make it look like she's on top of this. But how do people in North Carolina, in rural Pennsylvania, in any state, look at something like that and see what the priorities might be for, you know, the State Department or the Department of Homeland Security, or whoever might be in charge here? They feel left out. So I do have to get to a couple of things here from Harris. This is the other thing that I saw on Friday night. She was in, I think it was Flint, Michigan. And I swear to God, Fred, I don't know if you saw this or you heard this clip. I tweeted this out right after I put the Tony Blinken thing up there on Friday night. It was a rare little tweet fest for me on a Friday night. Usually, yeah, I don't get there, right? I was getting ready to go to that coin show at the pageant. And it was a situation where, here, I'm going to see if I can find the tweet here. On the Tony Blinken tweet, I said, you know, when he was talking about $157 million in assistance to Lebanon, I said, you misspelled North Carolina. And then the other tweet was about Harris. And there's a Twitter site out there
that's
called...
That's pretty funny, by the way.
I was trying to be... And you know what? There was a lot of reaction to that because I think people understood the tone of that. So there's a great site out there called Clown World. If you follow that, it's at Clown World on the X4ly Twitter. And they put a lot of there's a few out there, like N-Wokeness, Libs of TikTok, Clown World. They're all sort of similar. And they had a clip of Harris from Flint, Michigan, where she just sounds like an idiot, which is not unusual. But the tweet was, imagine being so dumb to believe she can lead this country. Now, I'm going to play the audio from that particular incident. But because I'm being careful, I thought, this is so weird and awkward and terrible. This has to be edited. Okay? So it's a Friday night. I'm getting ready to go to a concert. My family's out to dinner. They're going to see Beetlejuice. Alexa's at Beetlejuice. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to dig up this damn thing from C-SPAN to Flint, Michigan. I start watching the rally. And sure as you know what, this is actually real. Now, I think we're going to talk about what really kind of happened here, but listen.
Remember his number, 32. Today we got 32 days until the election.
Pause. Awkward pause.
What's happening?
So well, 32 days. 32 days. Okay, we got some business to do. We got some business to do.
See, she's lost here.
32 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And we know we will do it. And this is going to be a very tight race until the very end. This is going to be a very tight race until the very end. We are the underdog, and we know we have some hard work ahead.
All right, so what happened there, Sue? You know what happened, right?
Yeah, the prompter went down.
Prompter went down. So she starts, yeah, I don't want you to listen to it again here, just the beginning, because she's saying, she's trying to get the crowd. The crowd's kind of, you know, riled up here. 32 days, 32 days.
Listen. 32.
32 days.
Today we got 32 days until the election.
Now, the prompter's supposed to kick in right about here. Everyone quiets down. She's looking at it. She doesn't know what to do, and then she kind of grasps here.
So 32 days.
Yeah, we got to go back to that.
32 days.
How many?
Okay, we got some business to do.
So then I don't even know if the prompter could, but that was an awkward moment. I mean, if you just see the clip isolated when she's looking, and I would say this too. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't want to be unfair to the vice president. It almost looked like one of those incidents where maybe there was a cocktail involved beforehand. But I can't say for certain. Maybe just a half glass of wine or something along those lines. But that was weird. Then there's this. 60 Minutes is doing this special tonight. Have you seen the ads for this?
No.
Now, this is interesting. This is Mr. Bill Whitaker. Bill Whitaker is the guy that came in here and gave one of the big, wet, sloppy kisses to Kim Gardner and portrayed St. Louis as a bunch of, you know, white supremacists, right? So she hasn't done a lot of sit-down interviews at all, but she sat down with 60 Minutes and Bill Whitaker asked her a question.
My plan is about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes. It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
All right, let me stop there, because that's just a class warfare talking point that Joe Biden has used. They all use it. It's a bunch of nonsense. The economists have done the math. You can claim that you're going to tax these rich people more. They don't pay income tax. You know why? They don't get paychecks like the teacher or the nurse. All right?
Right.
So there's a big difference in that. That's why they want to jack up the capital gains. They want to punish people for being successful. But Bill Whitaker, shockingly, actually tried to follow up here.
Plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about, because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Their constituents are those firefighters and teachers and nurses.
Yeah, there's nothing
She's
there.
She's not
there,
answering no, that either.
Of course not.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
About the toughest. You can see that there's a visual aspect to that, because if you look at her, you can kind of see it in her eyes that she's
nothing.
Lost on there. She's like, and this is what happens. And, you know, I think this happened last week with Tim Walz and J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is out there every single day, and he's answering questions and tough questions.
Yep.
You got to kind of get better at this, right? And she's not very good at it because she hasn't had to do it very often. And there's the fact that she's incapable.
She doesn't know the answer.
Well, there is that, Sue. We're coming back. We have Congressman Mark Alford coming up. It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Yeah, we're loaded up this afternoon. We have after Sue's News in the next hour, Senator Schmidt will be here. He was in Butler. He was hanging out with J.D. Vance again over the weekend as well. Cusimano will be here at 4:45. We'll touch on the embarrassing loss in College Station and the Chiefs play tonight. Josh Hammer from Newsweek in the 5 o'clock hour and Ilya Shapiro as well. And both those guests are, they're both Jewish. We're going to reflect on what happened a year ago, but also talk about the presidential race. And I will have an audio cut of the day. That's all coming up a little bit later in the show. Alexa Reardon is with me today, too, my daughter, because there's no school. And she's claiming that she wants to talk about something. She said, "When can I talk?" I said, "Well, before Sue's News." So we'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour. Congressman Mark Alford is back with us on the first anniversary of what happened in Israel. I always like to kind of set the scene with where your district is because you're on the other side of the state, Mark. But how are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing well, I suppose. It's a very grim anniversary. I'm just wondering, Mark, where is the outrage in America for the 43 Americans who were killed a year ago? Where's the outrage for the four American hostages still in those tunnels? We believe are alive, but we don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where I think so many people have been desensitized to this. And, you know, then when you kind of juxtapose what we've seen on college campuses and that we're seeing today on college campuses, I think it leaves a lot of people maybe even a little confused.
Well, I think it's disgusting. I think this administration, I think even yesterday with Kamala Harris not being willing to call Benjamin Netanyahu an ally. I mean, back in July, he came and spoke to us, a joint session of Congress. We were all there. Eric Schmidt was there. I was there. Josh Hawley was there. Where's Kamala Harris? She didn't want to show up. She didn't want to be anywhere around Benjamin Netanyahu. And yet, Netanyahu called those who are pushing for Hamas, who are trying to justify what they did, as useless fools. And they are such. Because the Democrats, the progressive, woke, liberal bent of our country, Hamas would eat them for lunch for what they believe in and what they stand for. They are useless fools in this battle of good and evil, and I am so glad that conservative Republicans are on the side of good.
It is interesting. I was looking for that soundbite because I thought I have it, but she was unwilling to even call him an ally during that interview, right?
She corrected the journalist. I use that term loosely, having been one. She says he asked, "Do you consider Benjamin Netanyahu an ally?" And she said, "Let me rephrase the question.
Right?
Do I consider the people of Israel to be in alliance with America?" And to that, I say yes. Well, it's more of her word salad, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the word salad that this so-called candidate is promulgating and propagating that means nothing but hatred, apparently, towards Israel now.
You know, Congressman, by the way, if you don't like the word salads, I don't know if you've seen or heard any of the clips. You know, they're doing this kind of special 60 Minutes thing on the election tonight, which I'm very leery about 60 Minutes because of the way that they've covered St. Louis with our situation with Kim Gardner. And the same guy that did that, one of them, Bill Whitaker, actually asked a couple of tough questions, which did not go well for the vice president. And it became a word salad. So you may see some things tonight on that particular episode of 60 Minutes that don't reflect well for the vice president, where they can't even protect her from her word salad. It'll be interesting.
Well, the media has been in the tank for Kamala Harris since day one. They have the Trump derangement syndrome, which has gripped half of America, and it's anybody but Trump. That's why they helped Joe Biden campaign in a basement, fly under the radar, get into the White House. That's why they're doing the same thing with Kamala Harris. I think some of them are getting a little ticked off, though, that she won't do long-form interviews with serious questions. Why didn't she do a town hall meeting like Trump does? Get out there, put it all on the table, have people from all walks of life ask her intelligent questions, and see if she can come up with one intelligent answer.
I think I found that. Here, let's see if this is the soundbite. I think this might be from the 60 Minutes thing as well.
We have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu.
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer
to that question is yes.
Well, I think the answer to the first question is no, the way the chief feels, right? It wasn't too tough of a question, but that's interesting the way she tried to wiggle out of that one.
That was a softball question, and any rookie politician should be able to answer that question, especially since Harry Truman was instrumental in getting Israel to become a nation state in 1948, along with the United Nations. It is ridiculous to think there should be any light between us and Israel. And yet, on this gruesome anniversary, the candidate for the Democrats who wants to sit in the White House behind that resolute desk gives one of the most unresolute answers I've ever heard about our relationship with Israel. I think it disqualifies her from being president of the United States.
I don't know that I disagree on that front. Congressman Mark Alford, let me kind of take you back to what you said. You alluded to something with the media. Look, you're a former news anchor. You know the media very well. What is it? You saw what happened last week in the debate. You certainly saw what happened in the earlier debate. It's 3-on-1. I thought J.D. Vance did a great job last week. But what is it in the makeup, the DNA of most of these legacy media journalists, Mark, that makes them so full of TDS?
They can't help themselves. And this goes back many years, ever since Trump came down that escalator at Trump Tower, and I was watching it. I was filling in on a radio show here in Kansas City in the afternoon, and I told the host then and there, this guy is going to be the next president of the United States. And they laughed at me. America laughed at Donald Trump. But he was speaking the truth. He had his pulse on the finger of America. And they did not like it. The media did not like it when Trump punched down to the media and called them out and called them fake news. The media's job is not to respond. The media's job is not to defend itself. The media's job is to report the facts. And when you become in a fight and you become a defender or an aggressor in that fight, you have removed yourself from objectivity. And that's what the media did. They took to calling him a liar. They took to fact-checking him. And now it's disproportionate to how they're treating Democrats. If they want to treat Democrats the same way, I guess that's okay. I still don't think that's the job of a journalist. In a debate especially, the moderator should moderate. Just like Jim Lehrer used to do when I was growing up, a great moderator. You don't get involved in fact-checking. You let the other person in that debate fact-check their opponent.
I can't remember. Congressman, you went to Israel in the aftermath of the devastating attack. Is that true?
I went there on April 3rd yeah. through the 11th with several other congressmen and women. We went to Near Oz, the kibbutzes where several hundred people were brutally slaughtered, babies cut out of wombs, people burned alive and raped in front of their children. It was a horrible place to be, but I wanted to see it for myself. We talked eye to eye with the parents of Hirsch Goldberg Poland. At that time, he was alive. He was executed some 4 weeks ago when the IDF got close to rescuing him and others.
Right.
But it really gave me a, you know, and look, you can only see so much on television. The lens can't capture it all. We went to the Nova site where people were gunned down. The paragliders came in from Gaza just a mile or so away and came in with AK-47s and mowed people down. Until you've been there, it's hard to realize just what Israel is going through. They are living October 7th of 2023, day after day after day. And for us, it's commemorating an anniversary, which we hope an event like this will never happen again. But they live it every day. They have people trying to kill them from just about every side. And Israel has every right to defend itself. And it's time for this administration to get behind Israel.
Is it my understanding you're going back, though, soon to Israel as well?
Yes, I'm going back with another delegation on a congressional trip. A lot of members from the Appropriations Committee. I'm on the Armed Services Committee. We authorize the programs in the committee for replenishing the Iron Dome and other assets like that, which we do need. And look, I realize people are like, why are we helping Israel when we're not helping our own people in North Carolina and Georgia? I get that. That is a very salient argument. We can do both at the same time. We must make sure Israel can defend itself and can knock out the aggressors. I'm a firm believer that Israel ought to strike a nuclear site there in Iran. This is the time and this is the place to put an end to this nonsense. There are good actors surrounding Israel, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, that want this Abraham's Accord to succeed. They want peace in the Middle East, and these knucklehead terrorists are preventing that from happening. We're going back to try to get that back on track and try to make sure that Israel can finally live in peace.
Keep us posted on that. Congressman Mark Alford, great to have you on today. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much. Right. And hi to your daughter.
Yeah, and I hope you're going to the Chiefs game tonight, too, by the way. You should be. You should be there. That should be congressional requirement.
I'm actually going to a synagogue tonight in observance of the massacre. I feel a little bit odd going to a Chiefs game.
Well, I get that.
I know there's one. And we do have a Royals game as well. But when I get back home from the ceremony honoring those who were killed a year ago, I am going to watch the games.
Well, thank you, Mark. Good luck with all that. I appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
I forgot about the Royals playing tonight, too. They're playing the Yankees.
Busy day.
That should be fun. Let me get into this issue. Look, this gets tough, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I do understand. I've covered these issues for years. You can allocate money here, and you can allocate money there. But at this point, it seems like there's a whole lot of effort going on from the federal government to help people overseas, Israel, Ukraine, et cetera. What about the folks that need help in this country? So Peter Ducey with KJP in the press room earlier this afternoon. This just happened.
The administration has money to send to Lebanon without Congress coming back. But Congress does have to come back to approve money to send to people in North Carolina. Do I have that right?
Here's what I'm going to be very clear about. The president and the vice president has had a robust whole of government response to this. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I said it at the top, more than $200 million that we have directly put towards survivors here. We have made sure that every state has gotten their storm requested emergency declaration, but instead, people want to do disinformation, misinformation, which is dangerous.
I don't know how it's disinformation, misinformation.
What
but this is, well, she's spinning, so then he follows up.
President Biden is fond of saying, show me your budget and I will tell you what you value. If he's got money for people in Lebanon right now, without Congress having to come back, what does it say about his values? There's not enough money right now for
his
people
values,
in North Carolina
his,
who need it. That's not misinformation.
Wait, no, that is, your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir. What you don't, yes,
which
it's misinformation.
Is there money to send to Lebanon right now?
You know, one of the things that she never answered the question.
No, it drives me nuts.
The first question was, is it true that Congress would have to come back? She didn't really answer that.
I just mentioned to you that we provided more than $200 million to folks who are impacted in the area. And I just shared with you that people are deciding not to,
Wait. Congress that there's not enough money to help people
We're
in North Carolina.
We're talking about the SBA. A disaster loan.
That's money for people in North Carolina.
And that's important, and people in North Carolina need that. Wait, this is nothing new. Peter, this is nothing new. Congress comes together, they provide money, millions of dollars, for disaster relief. There is money that we are allocating to the impacted areas, and there's money there to help people who truly need it. There are survivors who need the funding.
They need the funding, but the perception is, look, a lot of this is a perception. A lot of it is reality, and she's not able to accept the reality. And by the way, I don't think this ended well. Here, look.
We have the money available to help survivors of Hurricane Helene and also Hurricane Milton. Now there's going to be a shortfall. Right? Because we don't know how bad Hurricane Milton is going to be.
Oh, all of a sudden, now there's going to be a shortfall.
She
didn't want to answer the question first, and now she's like, okay, wait a second, we're not going to have enough money, right?
And so we're going to need additional funding. Need additional funding.
That's exactly what I just asked.
Thank you.
What you're asking me is why Congress needs to come back and do their job. That's what you're asking.
No.
Congress needs to come back and do their job and provide extra assistance, extra funding to disaster relief fund. That's what Congress needs to do, and we're going to continue to urge that. You may not want that, but that's okay. That's what this president wants, and that's what the vice president wants.
She just totally contradicted herself.
Then she walked out, by the way. She's very feisty. But yes, she did contradict herself because the question...
Yes.
Look, I'm not that smart, but I understood the question from the get-go,
and I also
understood that she didn't answer it. We're coming back. Hang in there. All right, I wanted to see if I mentioned this earlier. Barry Weiss, who left the New York Times several years ago and started the Free Press, where really the only real journalism is taking place right now. But she's been very vocal in the aftermath of what happened a year ago, and in particular on college campuses and what we saw on display through much of the country in the spring. And I think we're seeing it, sadly, again today, unfortunately, on college campuses. But Barry was on Fox this morning, and I want to play this because I thought she was really, really effective. And I had a particular way to enter into this first bite. So let me see if I don't screw it up. Because she was talking about 9/11, and this example has been made where, you know, this is their 9/11, what happened, especially if you look at the numbers compared to how big their country is.
The difference, of course, was in the aftermath. On September 12th, 2001, it would have been impossible to imagine young people crowding the cities across the West, including here in America, waving the flags of Hamas and Hezbollah and shouting glory to the martyrs.
That's really stark, isn't it?
Yeah, it
I mean, that says a lot right there.
Globalize the Intifada. It would have been absolutely unthinkable. And everyone would have responded to that with shock and horror. But what has happened on October 8th, 2023, and every single day since then, including today, when the streets of this city are going to be flooded, and this is an allusion to the Al-Aqsa flood, which is what Hamas called the attacks of October 7th, 2023, to flood the city to celebrate what happened on this day.
Yeah, I mean, there were professors at Columbia University, other esteemed, so-called esteemed universities, that were calling what happened a year ago today exhilarating and awesome. That happened on college campuses. Well, that's what I would say.
The world has changed, not just because this was the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust, and it was, not just because it happened inside of the sovereign nation of Israel and made Israelis feel vulnerable in a way that they thought was impossible since the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, but it has transformed, I think, the West. Because what we have seen is that we live among people, some of our neighbors,
yes,
some of our college professors, some of our graduate students, some Broadway producers, I was rewatching some videos, they went out and tore down posters of these innocent people, posters of babies and children and women, some of whom are still being held by Hamas.
I don't know how much you remember that. That happened in the several weeks, maybe even the first couple of months of this last year, October, November into December. There were many videos of people who were professors at some of these universities, Broadway directors, that's why she alluded to them, that just walked down the street. They saw a poster of a kidnapped person that's being held by a terrorist group, and they tore it off of the post.
What? To what end?
Well, this is what's so confusing, because I think that we all learned in the last year that this is, and imagine being Jewish, right? I'm speaking as a non-Jew. It is unreal, and unfortunately some of that is reverberating again today on this anniversary. We got Fox News, then Suze News, Cusimano in the next hour, Senator Eric Schmidt. We're loaded up on a Monday.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.